Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Baby. What, did you not want me to keep going?
I'm not ready to answer that question.
I mean, geez. We got
Who
Jerry
told
Rice.
You to stop? Who told you to stop?
Go Fuel. Jerry Rice is going to join us in about 25 minutes. You know, Bonte, the tweet just came out. Rap Sheet is saying that it's official. Devondre Campbell is going to be suspended for 3 games.
Yep, came out at 7:04 this morning that he will be suspended 3 games without pay. He's going to miss a lot of money, and this is what it is. The refusal to play may cost Devondre Campbell up to $873,000, according to our best friend David Lombardi. It ultimately saved the 49ers that much against the cap. Base salary, $200,000. 3 games of per-game bonus, $60,000. And up to $111,000 of signing bonus and $500,000 playtime incentive not met. So he cost himself nearly $1 million, Devondre Campbell. And good riddance to you, Campbell. What a joke you are. What a joke you are. By the way, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, good morning. My favorite day of the week, a Monday. Shout out to all the graveyard shift workers, all the overnight dancers who may be coming out to Laughing Monk this Friday. They may be coming out to Laughing Monk this Friday. Oh, boy. No?
Might be suggestible.
It's going to be a who's who. I'm excited. I want to see everyone. It's an opportunity for us to say thank you to our fans and to go visit the South Bay and see everybody down near the stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm not thanking these jabronis. I'm going there for the free food, giving out some Doobie Awards. The hell with the fan. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Oh, boy. 888-957-9570. All right. So let's get right into it. Let's get right into it. And shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. This next conversation is why I wished YouTube chat was available for everybody, but it's not. So we're still on timeout like little kids. The boss man is punishing us, and I don't think it's ever coming back, unfortunately. But I'm going to still talk about it anyway.
I'm not ready to answer that question.
Brock Purdy and his contract. I'm going to ask this question because we know the details by now. We talked about it, even though I haven't wanted to talk about it all offseason. Brock Purdy's contract, Brock Purdy's contract, Brock Purdy's contract. What do you do with Brock? I want to ask a question at 24 years old. This is his second full season. And we know what's transpired this year with the roster. We don't have to go down the rabbit hole. We know. We know. We've all watched the games. I'll just ask the basic question. Do you believe Brock Purdy can get better at the quarterback position with the San Francisco 49ers? Do you believe Brock Purdy can improve of what he's done so far.
What do you mean by that? Like,
can he get better? Can he get better? Just forget the stats.
Well,
can he improve on his deep ball accuracy? Can he improve on the out routes? Can he improve with throwing the ball with seam? Can he improve on understanding what the defenses are doing to him?
Yeah,
can he improve
side,
as
yeah.
a player?
Yeah, mental
can
side,
he
yes.
move? At, can he improve all around as a player?
Absolutely on the mental side. There's no doubt
just
about
the mental side, not the physical traits.
Well, I think it's really hard to okay, like for example, in baseball, you don't go, I throw 88, now all of a sudden I'm throwing 97.
No doubt.
Right? So, like, you can improve a little bit in terms of arm strength and be a little more accurate because you cleaned up some of your footwork. But to me, like, it's the cerebral side where you see the tremendous growth for most players at the quarterback.
Can he get
position.
Better there?
I would think so. There's
He's only 24 years old.
Don't you think that, like, Peyton and Tom Brady were better in their 30s and mentally than they were in their 20s?
It's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah,
He's
so I do think he can get
old.
Better there. But, like, I do also see some of the limitations, you know, that he brings to the table. Now, when I saw the report from Tom Pelissero yesterday, and it was floating all over the internet, and everybody's losing their minds, my thing was this. And we'll get to the financial portions of it because you know me, I love studying the money.
No, I love the money too, but I think we get too bogged down about the money, and especially when it's not our money. And I'm all for individuals trying to maximize their worth, their self-worth.
Yeah, I just want my team to be great.
Yeah,
so, I want to be able to spread the money around and have a great team. So like, I look at it this way. Like, the Niners just got like an L in the rain where they didn't even get into the red zone. You've had four of your five worst passer-rated performances in four of the last five games that you've played in. The Bears game is the only one that he actually looked good in. And that's by the stats. And we've had an entire offseason and year of contracts and money and this. And believe me, I understand the business element. I wake up to my quarterback. Now before the season's even concluded, he is got his agent out here leaking stuff to Pelissero that he wants to get paid top dollar. It's just, yeah, you deserve a raise, but I don't want to hear about it right now. That's where I came down on.
You know what is fascinating?
I don't want
to
hear about it.
I do want to hear from the folks who said, oh, Brock Purdy seems like the type of guy who's going to take a discount. And what did I say? Oh, we better put the brakes here. Business is business. But a lot of people thought, oh, Brock Purdy's just going to waltz on in, and hey, you know what? I know I was in the last pick of the NFL draft. Go ahead to shave something off top. I'll take a little discount. No, this is not how it works. It's not how it works for him. But he's only 24 years old. So before we even like get to the dollars and cents, because the money's going to be what the money's going to be. He's worth what a team says he's worth, right? Whatever contract they give him, that's what he's worth. And he believes he's worth top dollar. And when you look at the guys who are making top dollar, you know, Brock Purdy may have an argument here. He may have an argument. But do you believe on the front end that Brock Purdy can get better at the quarterback position? He's only 24 years old. Is there any room for improvement? Let's go to Derek in Austin, Texas.
Before you go out to Derek, yes, he can mentally get better and maybe a little bit physically. But I also, the thing that worries me, he's already had a major elbow surgery. I believe there's something going on with the shoulder currently. Guys also depreciate in the game of football. Like, not everyone physically gets better. Some physically get worse. And I look at Jimmy Garoppolo as an example, clearly of a guy who physically got worse and mentally got worse as the games went on. So it's not always a given that you can physically get better.
Now, Jimmy was deeper into his career, though, right?
Of course.
He was, what, 28?
Yeah.
27? Brock's only 24.
Okay.
Only 24. He's a young man. I'm going to keep that
Jimmy
in perspective.
Jimmy also didn't play for a couple of years because of the Tom Brady situation.
Yeah, but he got hurt as soon as he came in.
No doubt.
Brock has showed us that he could play through injuries. He's a tough player. He's a tough SOB. He could play through. The guy came back from Tommy John. We didn't think it was possible he'd start against Pittsburgh. And he did. And he had a spectacular season. Let's go to Derek in Austin.
Yeah, but I'm
what's
still
up?
Now questioning the arm right now. Like, right. I don't know
that's,
what's going
that's,
on
that's
with the
fair.
Arm.
Derek, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I think with the Brock thing that I think Shasky, I kind of agree with you that, you know, nobody wants to pay anybody $70 million for Brock. But the one thing I think Brock's kind of been overlooked this year is, and when people say about regression and we're not sure if we want to pay him, is he was actually throwing the deep ball pretty well over the last couple of years. He didn't do bad at it. And the regression, I think, maybe because he's actually pretty hurt. And we're just not hearing about it. It's like when Warner was hurt, we were like, oh, Warner's kind of come down after the first few weeks. And then everybody's like, well, what's happened to Warner? He must have hurt. Well, he was hurt. And I think Brock's hurt. You know, he missed a game. They rushed him. I think he tried to get back. And I think that's kind of been the problem with his deep ball lately. As you noticed, since he's been back, Brock has not run at all. And he was running a lot earlier in the year and getting out of trouble and stuff like that. And the last thing is, we all know, dude, the offensive line is terrible.
Yes.
So you got a guy that's probably hurt. The offensive line's horrendous. And, you know, that's probably why a little bit of the regression. And for, you know, and we all know about the injuries. But
Derek,
Brock,
real quick.
I think Shafty are a little bit tough on him.
Yeah, Derek, I'm kind of with you here. To me, the context matters. You have no Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. All baked out Christian McCaffrey playing. There's a tremendous drop-off from Jordan Mason to Christian McCaffrey. So, boom, your red zone issues are a problem, right? All of a sudden, you can't score in the red zone. You can't score touchdowns. You're settling for field goals. And last year, you're scoring touchdowns. George Kittle's missed time. Deebo Samuel's time. Deebo Samuel's not the same player. Isn't that a factor? And then, Derek, I don't know if maybe I'm the only one in this boat. But it felt like we underrated Brandon Ayuk's value to this offense and what he did for Brock Purdy. And he's the one guy who could beat press man. And what are we talking about today as we head into late December? Oh, 49ers can't beat press man coverage.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And that is true. But I think the overall thing that Shasky keeps, and when I usually agree with Shasky on a lot of things, which is crazy, that I can't believe he can't
see. Wait.
I really do think Brock's hurt.
Derek, does that mean you disagree with me a lot?
No. But I do tend to agree with you.
Here's what I would say to you.
Wow,
like, here's what
Derek.
I would say to you.
Wow,
like,
you just broke my heart.
Brock's a really good player, right? He's a really good player. And everyone keeps talking about the market. And I understand the market. I want to see him stay with the Niners. He deserves a pay raise. Clearly, a big pay raise, because he's making one of the lowest amounts. I mean, even look at the backups. Look at how much he's making. He's got like the 72nd or whatever it is, the 54th highest quarterback price tag this year. So obviously, the guy deserves a tremendous amount of money, and he's going to get it. He's going to get it some way, one way or the other. The question now becomes, like, how much, and then how much are the guarantees, and when can you get out of it? And that's where I'm looking at. Now, you're asking me, can he get better? Now, his first 25 games, the guy threw 45 touchdowns with 11 interceptions, and they had an all-star squad around him. The last 18 games, and that's starting with the Baltimore game, and I'm telling you, I'm cherry-picking the numbers because I'm starting at one of his low points. He's at 20 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, 7 fumbles. The team is 10-8. In the prior 25 in that he played in, they were 20-5, right? So I am.
But doesn't the context matter, though? The defense is not the same as last year. The special teams is much worse. The field goal kicker's worse. You're not getting the sack totals. Your offensive line is probably worse than it was a season ago. So to me, the Baltimore game, trust me, the Baltimore game, I can't get that image out of my head. But he did bounce back and lead two game-winning drives and two game-winning or game-rallying victories in the playoffs.
When you want to get top of the market, Bonte, when you want to get top of the market, well, then you have to perform top of the market when things aren't great around you.
Well, that's not,
I think that's where I'm saying, like, this is a classic good to great conversation, which is very nuanced. No one says he stinks. He deserves to get a pay raise. He's going to get a pay raise. He's going to make a lot of money. Should he make, and I'm just going the guarantees at signing, should he make 230, which is number one for Deshaun Watson? No. I don't know if I'd pay anyone that. Should he make 146 guaranteed at signing, which is what Burrow got? No, I don't think so. Trevor's crummy contract, which everyone agrees is awful, at 142, which is the third highest guaranteed at signing. No. Lamar's 135. No. I think he falls in somewhere between Kirk Cousins, $90 million, and Lamar Jackson's 135. And if I had to guess, it would probably be slightly above Nick Bosa's $122 million guaranteed at signing.
Still a lot of coin. It's a lot of coin.
And you know what? But if you break it down, and it's over a three-year period, right?
It's not bad.
You're looking at $45 million guaranteed. $45 million guaranteed. I think he's going to slot in somewhere in that 135 guaranteed range just behind Lamar.
Let's go to...
It's a lot of money.
Let's go to David in Denver. David, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, My quick take on this, and I think the other caller, he may have been onto something. If there's some injury stuff going on, then yeah, you know, Maybe we don't know, but I do feel Brock has earned. He's earned it, man. He's earned, and I'm not talking about the specific money, but just the chance to continue to show us that he is the guy. I think two things are true. One is that, you know, there has been some regression in my eyes this year, and at the same time, I think he's a guy. I think he has the character and the makeup that, you know, that he's the guy I want as a quarterback, man. Like, you know, yeah, I guess people can always look at the shiny toy of, like, someone who's got some other gifts. You want that big arm. Like, okay, go sign Sam Darnold or something. You know what I mean? Like, I get people think like that. But the dude's shown enough in my eyes that I want him as our quarterback. At the same time, I can say I've seen things this year that were problematic and made me kind of concerned. Now, I think context does matter. So to your point, you know, Bonte, I think those things do matter. But I just think the guy's earned it, you know, to give him another year. He is young. To see from this point on, we've seen the good. We've seen a little bit of bad now. Now let's see where he goes from here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Let's go to BPA. BPA, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
I've been a huge Brock guy, but sorry, just off the heels of his performance this year and last offseason just being this sort of like embarrassingly selfish group of guys that just everybody's just, I'm going to get mine kind of mentality, which has permeated through the season. I don't want him at 60. He's not a $60 million quarterback. If there were any questions about that, this year has proven that. And, wow, bad timing. Just the absolute worst timing to drop that. I almost wonder if the Niners dropped it, you know, sort of like early on in the negotiation. And, you know, the message being, dude, you now put a lot of pressure on yourself to ball out at the end of this year. And you've been stone cold bad for a while. So,
well,
yeah, it completely changes my take on it.
BPA, yeah. Isn't it hard to ball out when, and I'm not making an excuse for Brock Purdy because he does have to play better. Thursday was his worst game of the season by far. By far. I was there in person. I was like, wow, this guy, he's really bad today. But doesn't the weapons around you have to do something to make us, like, I look at play calling, I look at offensive line play. This is why football is just not a one-man sport. This is why it drives me crazy when we do quarterback win stats and QBR. This is not all the quarterback. You need a team to really be functionable. And right now, this team is a mess.
Well, didn't a week before, Brock was, you know, Tom Brady on steroids, according to David Lombardi. Right?
Well, you're talking about a guy who...
A week earlier.
You're talking about a guy who may have some, I don't know, some insecurity issues or whatnot, because I don't subscribe to whatever
what
the hell he's
saying?
Doing.
What are you saying, BPA? I don't know. I want to hear what you...
That guy doesn't hold the word.
Okay,
David Lombardi.
He was great. A week earlier, Brock was he was great, right? I mean, he was almost perfect.
Well, we also know that they're playing the Bears with an interim head coach and a first-time defensive play caller, and Thomas Davis being their head coach. So what did we say on the show? Brian, you listen to us. You tweet at us. You listen to the show. What did Shasky and Bonte say after the Bears game? Not much, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't really care what David Lombardi has to say.
I think you said quarterback. I think that was sort of the sentiment, but I just at this point, man, it's just the future. The future is murky for the 49ers. That's the vibe.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Like, I think so. Like, on one hand, right, B, you can't go April 1st and we're got mini camp and I don't have my quarterback.
Yeah, that's what
we can't. That I acknowledge.
I was trying to debate that Friday, saying that, hey, not even debate it, but saying, you really, like, callers will say, well, we just play hardball. Look how that worked out this season for the 49ers.
But if he wants every single dollar, if you kind of get the sense of that from the beginning, like, I think you have to be open-minded on this one. If he wants every single dollar and he's looking to break Joe Burrow's $146 million guaranteed at signing, I'm sorry. Like, if that's the case, I want to be very specific. If that's the case, dude, go look around the league and you tell me who's giving you that. You have to do that, because the worst thing you could do is pay the wrong guy. Now, that being said, everything I just went down, could you survive giving him 100 plus million and it be an absolute nightmare? Yeah, actually you could. because I just see the Denver Broncos doing it right now with Bo Nix. And Bo Nix threw like a zillion picks yesterday. They're eating $85 million in dead money for Russell Wilson, and they found a way to build a team around Bo Nix, a rookie quarterback, and they've somehow bounced off the Russell Wilson money, but they did it because they drafted extremely well, and they leaned into these cheap, inexpensive players, and their play caller has been outstanding. So you can, if it is a nightmare, and you pay them $100 million, there is a template out there where you could still survive a little.
All right.
It's not, believe me, it's not the path I'm trying to go.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's a very interesting path.
But if he wants every dollar... I do kind of look at him sideways. Like,
I do get blown away, though.
You can't sit here and say, I'm not as good this year because I don't have all my weapons, and then say, I need 26% of the cap, but, you know, surround me with talent moving forward. Dude, like, those aren't congruous thoughts.
I do get blown away in sports, though, how we're so, and I'm not saying flippy-floppy or whatever, but how we're so day-to-day on things. It's fascinating to me that 3 months ago you couldn't criticize this guy. You couldn't even criticize this guy. No, it's a whole different ballgame.
Well, if you buy a house and you didn't know that the roof was actually ready to collapse after one big rain, well, then doesn't that change your impression?
Well, that's your dumbass fault for buying the house.
Well, things happen. Sometimes you open up walls and there's dry rot.
That's your dumbass fault. You got to do your investigation on this stuff. Let's go to Willimer. It's like a car. It's like a car.
Yeah, but you never bought a lemon at any point in life?
No, that's why a car. I know people who work in dealerships, and so when I check out a car, I always send the information to people I trust to say, okay, what's the deal with this car's history?
Yeah, but you can't.
And then you get X, Y, and Z. It's like, yeah, I'm going to sell off that car.
But
you got to go deeper, Spinotti. You got to go deeper.
What happens when you get hit at the intersection, like Brandon Ayuk? Like, you paid, you did your Carfax report, and then an accident just happens. Like, sometimes there are things that are out of your control.
Will and Moran, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. So, one of the big things that I look for quarterbacks that deserve big paydays is efficiency. And what blows my mind about the whole Brock Purdy situation is that if you were to change the player and you put Josh Allen in Brock Purdy's shoes, it would be a surefire thing. It would be no-brainer. Obviously, we're going to pay Josh Allen. Like, what a stupid question, Will. Like, obviously, we're going to pay him. Well, what blows my mind is that Josh Allen, throughout his career, has had years where he's thrown 15 interceptions, yep, 14 interceptions, 18 interceptions, fumbled 9 times, including that. Brock Purdy's first full year was under a thicker microscope and was nitpicked harder and didn't even come close.
Hey, Will.
To 18 turnovers total. And I'm a Ravens fan, dude. Like, I don't understand what y'all are drinking in SF. You guys have a sick player.
Dude,
like,
Will, you're cooking. I'm going to let you cook. And finish the call. But I remember the dialogue with Josh Allen over the last couple of years. It was like, oh, he's regressed. You can't win with this guy. And now you see him. It's like, wait, maybe guys get hurt. Guys have bad games. Bad games are possible. It's possible to have a bad game. Like, it is what it is. You're not going to be perfect. Steph Curry is the greatest warrior ever. He's not perfect. Hell, he only makes 45% of his threes. Like, that's 55% of his misses. So, we'll keep cooking because I like where you're going here.
So, yeah, all I'm saying is that you guys have a great player who not only takes care of the football, but even in an injury-riddled year with himself being injured, he's still finding a way to being extremely efficient and keeping you in game.
Will, you're talking about Josh Allen very flippantly, and like I literally went down this rabbit hole yesterday because I was looking at the different numbers. This is a man in a 17-game season. His averages since you get out of his rookie year, since 2019, he averages 32-13 with 4,300 yards passing, and that doesn't even begin to include all of the running. He has more rushing touchdowns than O.J. Simpson. Look it up. It's factual.
But I think what Will is saying, though, is that, look, Josh Allen's had down years throwing the ball. And I remember on this show last year when Brock Purdy was cooking Spadoni. You can see subscribe to this. People were so down on Josh Allen last year on the show. It was ridiculous.
Not me.
I said last year for that Niners team, I'm taking Brock Purdy over Josh Allen.
I was told Josh Allen may not even be able to play Shanahan's system. So I don't want to hear about Josh Allen. Josh Allen's a great player. We know that. He's one of the Golden Four. Joe Burrow, I call him the Golden Four. Lamar, okay. Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. We know those guys, they're great. Now, what's the rest of the bunch? Even Jalen Hurts, he's struggling. Philadelphia's winning games.
Yeah, but Jalen's only making, like, I'm looking here, like, his guarantee at signing, Jalen Hurts, was $110 million, which is a lot of money, but when you rate it over 4 or 5 years, like, depends on how they, when you do these guarantees, you can amortize the
money. His average per year is $51 million.
Well, that doesn't include his the guarantees, because there's opt-outs.
I understand the guarantees. I'm talking about AAV. 51 a year.
Yeah, but see, AAV is a misleading number. It's guarantees at signing.
No, that's guarantees the one. No, that I understand that. I think I schooled you on that. When you guarantee, because if agents want the big shiny headline, guaranteed money, signing bonus, highest paid player ever. But then you start breaking down to per year base contracts, and that's where, you know, a lot of guys make a lot of money per year.
I think when I look at the Niners situation, which goes back to the, like, to me, the magic number is about $130 million guaranteed. And it's over a 3-year period. And then you can get out of it after that, which is what the Tua deal is, the yep. Goff deal, some of the contemporaries that are going to be in his price range, right? And I say to myself, front load the heck out of it so that all the guaranteed money is in the first year or two right at signing. Like Jordan Love just got a $75 million check on Thanksgiving, for example, for his new deal, which he just got. And so, like, there's going to be outs on this. He's going to get a pay raise. He absolutely is. But it's all about, to me, it's the guaranteed money.
Let's go to Daryl in Oakley real quick. Then we'll get to Rashawn in Vegas. Daryl, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, you guys. You know, I just want to say that, like T.O. said, you know, with a tear in my eye, that's my quarterback, man. And the reason is because, you think about it, Will Levis and Anthony Richardson are trash, and they were drafted way earlier. We finally got a guy who's pretty dang good. One thing that Shasky mentioned, though, is his shoulder looks a little iffy. You know what? I've been watching Ricky Pearsall, and he's actually been getting open lately. If you remember, there was a deep ball that Ricky Pearsall had to come back and break up the play.
It was a bad throw.
Ricky Pearsall, if he just got it, that's a touchdown. And we're cheering Ricky Pearsall saying, wow, did you see that? That wasn't a good throw. And so I'm a little bit concerned with the shoulder. I want to see how.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spring practices with his arm, because that's a question. But other than that, you know what? Again, the quote T.O., man, that's my quarterback, man. And then, you know, I'm cool.
Let's go to Rashawn in Vegas real quick before the break. Rashawn, what's happening?
What's up, guys? Hey, I just got a couple of things. One, you know, in regards to Brock Purdy's upcoming contract, you know, one name that hasn't been discussed out there is Justin Fields. I think, personally, in my opinion, as when we drafted Trey Lance, they should have took Justin Fields over Lance, because he was more proven in college, better athlete, more durable. If you plug Justin Fields into our offense, man, probably a guaranteed Super Bowl, right, first year.
Justin Fields guaranteed the Super Bowl? Oh, I've heard it all.
Might be suggestible.
I've heard it all, baby. I've heard it all. Oh, man. Your mic's off.
The thing I keep coming back to, and look, this is the reality, is in Bill Walsh's belief, is I don't just pay you for what you've done. I do have to also project what you're going to do moving forward. And I think in this situation, gosh, he so deserves a pay raise. Now the question becomes, how much does he want? How much can he command? And how much are they going to leave on the table so they can spread that wealth to give him the infrastructure to continue to succeed?
That's why it starts with me. Do you believe he can get better? He's only 24 years old. Can he get better in all areas of being a quarterback? Mentally, physically, all the throws, in the classroom, film study. Can he get better? And if you believe he can get better, then that's where the money will kind of fall in line there. If you believe he can improve as a quarterback. All right, Jerry Rice, the GOAT's coming up. I can't wait to talk to Jerry. I've been waiting on this one. And it's brought to you by the Los Altos Village Association. The holiday spirit sparkles in downtown Los Altos. With more than 150 unique shops, you'll find special gifts and fine holiday dining. Downtown Los Altos is your destination for festive events and fabulous holiday shopping. Who doesn't love holiday shopping? All with free parking. Free parking, huh? Los Altos got it going down. Get more info at downtownlosaltos.org.
This is Filmo Mike. And the Doobie Awards are this Friday at Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale from 6 to 10. I'll be there. You better be there, too. Now back to the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky. Shasky, stop with the long questions.
You know, Filmo Mike sounds too professional. He's trying too hard. Sounds too presidential. I'm not accustomed to that. I'm not. I need the Filmo Mike from Filmo, not the Filmore Mike, if you get what I'm saying. All right, anyway. Jerry Rice. Maybe he'll stop by the Doobie Awards. Maybe not. But we got our GO Fuel going on. I'm going to need some GO Fuel. I'm going to crack this baby right now. Jerry Rice joins us here on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Jerry, we love talking to you, man. You're the GOAT. You're our GOAT.
What's up, man?
I got my watermelon fruit punch. I'm just going to sit back and sip because I can't wait to hear what you have to say about Devon J. Campbell. Leaving game on Thursday. Now, Jerry, you got Fred Warner out there playing with a fractured ankle. Drake Greenlaw just came back from an Achilles tendon tear.
Yeah.
Bosa's playing with an oblique hip injury. Tre'Davious Ward, unfortunately, my condolences go out to his family. It's lost their daughter, for crying out loud. Guys are out there playing hurt, putting their bodies on the line against the hated L.A. Rams. And you got a guy who refused to go into the game. And he leaves the game, and he quits on his teammates. What were your initial thoughts when you saw and heard about that?
Well, first of all, I never knew that you could do that because you're under contract. And, you know, we knew that Greenlaw was coming back. And he's like that motor that's on that football field. And everybody feeds off Greenlaw. So for Campbell to do that, to his teammates, you know, to the fans of San Francisco, I think it just showed that this guy, for some reason, I think he had started maybe around 13 games or something like that. Mm-hmm. He just felt like, you know, he should be on that football field. And when Greenlaw came back, I think he was devastated by that. But you don't say no to actually going on the football field and playing with your teammates, because so many players have made so many, you know, sacrifices the entire season, you know, everything that's been going on. And for him to walk off the way he did, it just really, it sent the wrong message. And I don't know, does it send the wrong message that, you know, Kyle Shanahan lost the locker room, lost respect with players, but this guy, to have him to exit the game the way he did, I was shocked by that.
Jerry, if he was on that team and you were in uniform and you found out one of your teammates quit on you and the team, what would you have done? How would you have reacted if he was on that team? Because I saw how George Kittle reacted. I saw how Tre'Davious Ward reacted. But I know you love football more than anybody I've seen play this game before. How would you have reacted had you been on that team, on that football field next to Devondre Campbell?
Well, you know, probably. I think it would have been addressed right there on the football field. Not in the locker room. You know, because if you're not ready to go to battle with your team and you guys, the time, the preparation, the sweat, the tears, everything that you have poured into the season, it came down to that game. And we knew the importance of that game, and for him to refuse the way he did, I think it would have got dealt with right there on the sideline.
You never played on a team where someone literally quit like that?
No. You know, I remember watching this with Antonio Brown. You know, when he was with the Patriots, he took off his entire
with the Buccaneers,
the Buccaneers and stuff like that. And no, but I have never encountered a situation like this where someone actually that's under contract didn't want to go on to the football field and play for his team, for the city of San Francisco, and just walked off. I'd never been around that. And never wanted to be around that. But, you know, I think we had such great leaders, you know, guys that that would have dealt with that right there on the football field, that players knew that once you in, it's like one heartbeat, that's it, and you have to be totally on board.
Yeah, totally. What are you seeing with Deebo Samuel right now? I mean, he drops that ball, and the fans were just, they were giving it to him. And I know that he wants to play better, obviously. It's just, he's had a really tough year. What are you seeing from him in his lack of production right now?
Man, I don't know what is going on, because, the weirdest thing is, I think he maybe had 3 catches for 16 yards.
Yeah, Jerry, he has 101 receiving yards the last 5 weeks. 101 receiving yards the last 5 weeks. You do that in a quarter.
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you, for me, I would have been pissed. I would have been pissed at myself. I would have been pissed at the whole, you know, scenario. And I would pretty much go to work on the football field during practice. And if you do it during practice, you're going to be able to do it during the game. That ball that he dropped, okay, after you complain about not getting that many touches, you cannot drop the football. Yeah, I mean, you know, because everybody is going to get down on you and they're going to come after you. So, I never said anything about not getting touches or anything like that. I just worked, man. I just kept working, and if you show it during practice, they're gonna make the call during the actual football game, where you're gonna have opportunities where you can make catches, get into a rhythm, and be productive.
Jerry Rice here on the River Islands guest line on the Morning Rush here on 95.7 Game. We're glad to have the greatest football player who's ever played before, the touchdown leader, greatest receiver, you name it, the greatest Niner, Jerry Rice here on the Morning Rush with Shasky and Bonte. Let me ask you about Brock Purdy and the contract leaks from his agent. Before we get to the money, do you believe Brock Purdy's only 24 years old? A lot of people flipped out Brock. They think they can improve. Do you believe Brock Purdy can improve? And what areas can he improve in if you do believe he can improve at the quarterback position?
He can improve if you keep building around him. You got to give him the weapons. And these weapons, they got to produce. Football is a team sport. And if the Dallas Cowboys, if they gave Dak Prescott $60 million, Brock is going to ask for probably the same amount. Plus, Brock also has taken the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl. Dak hasn't done that. So, it's just about the right time and being in the right position. But he can get better if you keep adding, to the puzzle, where this guy doesn't feel the pressure of having to do it on his own on the football field. Well, you got other weapons out there that can make plays and also take some of that pressure off him.
Yeah, clearly the weapons haven't been great this year. The line has been suspect at best. Do you think he's had a good year, though?
No, he hasn't had a Brock year. I think his passing rating is about around 45. I think he has only 15 touchdowns that he has thrown or something like that. So it hasn't been a Brock year, but, I don't like making excuses. you know, everybody talking about, well, you know, there are so many injuries and stuff like that. I don't care about that. That doesn't mean anything to me. You still find a way to win. Everybody got, you know, excuses out there. You know, and this is like, oh, the offensive line, you know, so many players hurt and stuff like that. Man, forget that, man. You're a team. You find a way to win no matter what. And I'm tired of hearing all that.
What about, though, I hear you, Jerry, because I'm with you. I'm with the, but up to the sense of, I do watch these games, and I see Debo can't get off a press man. I see George Kittle in and out of the line. I see running backs dropping like flies. I see offensive linemen getting pushed back and getting the trenches dominated like Thursday night. Doesn't it matter just a little bit? You can only do with what you have out there that's available to you?
Next man up, man. Next man up. You get paid. You getting paid, and whoever is on that football field got to be accountable and got to be willing to sacrifice and make plays to help that team to win. I don't care.
Yeah,
that's just the bottom line. So everybody keep pointing fingers and doing all that, saying that it's one of those seasons where we got so many injuries. There's injuries all over the league.
Right.
It's happening everywhere. But why are we having so many injuries? Are we really pushing ourselves really hard during the week, then go into a ball game, then expect your body to all of a sudden react to emotion that you haven't done over and over during the week?
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. Jerry, you said this last time you were, I think this was right after the Chiefs game. You were hot. After the Chiefs game. We're all hot after the Chiefs game. I'm going to play this cut, and then I'm going to ask you on the back end, do you think you see an improvement in this area? Take a listen to this, Jerry.
I look at body language before a game, the opponent, the home team, and stuff like that. I just felt like we were not fired up for that game. And it showed. It showed, and you get the ball. I want to see an offense sprinting to the field saying, hey, let's go. And I'm just watching guys just move real slow and almost like, hey, just another game. It really doesn't mean that much. All of that. That's what I saw. That's the body language that I saw.
Have you seen any improvement from this team in terms of body language and spirit and energy since that Kansas City game?
No. If anything, it has gone the other direction. And the reason why I say that is that you got to love the game of football, and you got to pour your heart into it. And it's like you still see little pieces where, like say a Fred Warner, a Greenlaw, some guys, actually showing that energy. But I really want to see that from everybody. From all the players. So, yeah, I don't think it has gotten better. I think, if anything, it went the other direction.
Jerry, I was thinking about, and Bonte and I have referenced this over and over, you and Steve went down, I believe, in 96 or 97, opening game against Tampa. You battle all year to come back, and then you get hurt right away. I believe it was on primetime.
Catching
a touchdown pass in the end zone. Seeing Dre Greenlaw and how hard he's worked to come back and to have that half of football, it was like, wow. I mean, we all love him. We missed him so much. Did you have a chance to talk with him, either during the rehab process?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us what those conversations sounded like.
Well, not doing the rehab or anything like that, but, it's like when he was on the football field, you could feel that energy. I mean, I think Fred Warner, I think Bosa, I think everybody plays better when he's out on that football field because he brings that intensity. But it was great to see him get back on the football field. You saw him sprinting and you saw him making tackles, and being an impact and just typical Greenlaw that you know. So, I hope it continues where he can just get back into that rhythm again and be that leader.
Jerry, I scroll the internet sometimes. I'm on Instagram. You're just scrolling. And I've seen this video a few times where Steve Young goes, we win the Super Bowl, and I come back into the facility. Yeah. I'm going to clean out my locker, and nobody's there. And I look out onto the field, And there's Jerry Rice running wind sprints, and there's no one even throwing you a ball. You're just out there running routes as if someone's throwing you the ball because you were so dedicated to your craft. When you see all this talk about money and finances and contracts and all the stuff that's not football, what does a throwback grinder like Jerry Rice think when it comes to this? I know there's a business side of it, but from the fans, we get a little exhausted over all the contract stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's hard, man, because, you know, I'm not going to get in front of anybody getting their money or whatever, but there's a certain standard that comes along with that. So, you know, it's like accountability on the football field, not only just playing football, but also to the fans, you know, and that's something I always took a lot of pride in. And it's hard. It's really hard, because another thing, too, that really baffles me a little bit is all the distractions right before the actual kickoff, you know, with and I know you love your family. I know that. I don't have a problem with that. But there comes a time where on that football field, now it's time to go to work. You know, and there's way too much activity happening before the game. And that was something. And maybe I'm like the old dinosaur, man. I don't know. You know, that field is sacred. I mean, that's where you do your battle. That's where you fight. And I think it's okay for, you know, to have family down there for a certain amount of time, but then they got to go.
Yeah.
Now it's time to focus on the opponent. And it's just way too much. It's people being way too relaxed before the game. You know, I want to see that intensity. I want to see that fight. You know, I want to see that Russell Crowe. I want to see that, you know, the gladiator, whatever comes into this arena, you know, we have a better chance of survival if we work together. That's what I want to see.
Hey, I feel you, Jerry. I know
football right there.
I know exactly what you're talking about before the game, all the pregame festivities, and there's a lot going on, 15 minutes before kickoff, and we're kissing babies or whatnot. Now it's a new day and age, so they do things a little different than you, Jerry. Shaskin and I are old school, too. Like, it's football time, lock in. 45 minutes before the game, hey, you can just go to the suite. I'm getting my stretch on this time to get fired up. I understand completely what you're talking about, Jerry. We're talking to the great one, Jerry Rice, here on the Morning Roast. What are you looking for from this team the rest of the way? And what gives you hope for this team in 2025?
Man, I think what I'm looking for is, for players not to give up. You know, there's still opportunities out there where you can make a statement. So looking for them to continue to fight. And what I'm hoping for is to get the contract all situated with Brock Purdy. Get that out of the way, to know that, you know, that he's going to be the quarterback of the future for the San Francisco 49ers, and just continue to build around him. But you know, we just have to finish the season out and get ready for next year. I'm looking for big things. I'm expecting the same thing next year, is for them to win it all.
You know, Jerry, when I think of you and some of the other guys that are at the games, like Steve Young, obviously, he clearly cares about the organization. He's a Niner, you know what I mean? Through and through. Mm-hmm. And the Justin Smiths, the Frank Gores, the Patrick Willises, you know.
Yeah.
I know you talk to all these guys. Who's the most, outside of yourself, who's the most emotionally ticked off that the team stinks right now? Like, who's the guy that won't leave you alone because he's really, you know, he's just frustrated? Like, who's the guy you talk to from the 49er past?
I think it's everybody, all the 49ers. It's frustrating because I think so many of the old veterans, they feel like we put these guys in a position where they can be successful and also where they can earn the big money. You know, and guys before us put us in a position where we could earn the big money. So there's an accountability, respect that comes along with that. So a lot of those guys are frustrated because we were about that standard. And that standard was like, you had to win. There was no shortcuts or anything like that. You know, we were going to work hard during the week. We were going to have great leaders. We were going to go out there and fight every ball game. and we were going to win no matter what. Even if you had to, you know, cut your finger off, run in lock. Yeah. You remember he cut his finger off because, you know, he wanted to play. So, I think the Niners are going to – they're not saying they're going to have to, you know, cut limbs off or anything like that. But, you know, it's just that they're going to have to they're going to have to look back over on this season and say, hey, look, you know, we could have done better and let's make adjustments or do what we got to do and come back, finish this year off strong and get ready for next year.
You know, Jerry, I remember vividly this last time when the 49ers won a Super Bowl. You guys got blown out against Philadelphia at Candlestick. Steve Young went crazy because he got benched by George Seifert. He let George Seifert hear it. You guys lost a meaningless game, and that was it the rest of the way. You guys blew everybody out. You guys rolled to a Super Bowl. How would you assess Shanahan this season as a head coach of the 49ers? Because, you know, I don't think he should be fired. I don't think even his seat is hot. But there's been some things in the red zone. It's a play-calling situation, a play-calling last week, 3rd and 6. You run into Debo right up the middle. I'm thinking, what the hell? Put that ball in the air. How would you assess Shanahan's season?
It's been a rocky road, man. It's been highs and lows. And I think it's exactly what Steve Young said. You know, he got to reinvent himself. You know, it's like defense coordinators, they catch up to you. They know your scheme and stuff like that. And if you don't do certain things, they're going to take away, the strength of your offense. So my thing is, we know that we don't throw the ball that much to the outside. You need to spread that offense out and let these route runners, these playmakers run routes and be able to get away from bump and run, actually timing routes and stuff like that. I just feel like everything is so condensed, and it's like the lanes are very difficult because they're very small. When you spread everything out, there's bigger lanes where the quarterback can actually deliver the football. And we also know that also Brock Purdy is not like a 6'4 quarterback. You know, with everything being condensed like that, he's not going to be able to see over that offensive line, like a guy that's 6'4 or much taller. So there are got to be lanes where he can throw the football. So, like Steve said, I think he got to reinvent himself. And just let these playmakers go play, man.
Yeah, Juwan Jennings is having a monster year. I just love the fight from Juwan and what I see from him. I mean, he had a couple of drops.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The last game. And then there's also Ricky Pearsall. I'm not seeing a whole lot, but I don't have the astute eye that maybe you have in what you're looking for from a wide receiver. How would you assess those two players, Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall?
Well, Jennings, he's that fiery beast, man. I'm telling you, if anything is over the middle or anything, if he gets his hands on the ball, he's going to make the catch. And Pearsall, I think he had, oh my God, he had over 100 plays or more. He had one catch or something like that. I don't know what's happening with that scenario because it's like, if you get that many reps in on the football field, you should be able to get separation and also be able to be an impact and make plays. I think the one play he had was the touchdown that he was able to – he caught the ball and he was able to run away from everyone else. So I don't know if they're not giving him opportunities or whatever, or he's not getting separation, but you've got to pick and choose your medicine. You got to pick one of those guys. Is it going to be Debo? Is it going to be Jennings? That you got to get the rock to. That's going to open up everyone else. You can't just, spread the ball around, and have that mindset. You got to let your main playmaker go ball. So if that's going to be George Kittle, let him go ball, man. That's going to open up the run. Mm-hmm. So one, you got to decide. Okay, if we're going to run this rock, if we're going to run it, commit to the run, and then once they try to take that away, now you got the pass. So if you're going to commit to the pass, pass it. Once they take that away, now you got the run. So football is not that complicated, guys. It's not that complicated. And if the Niners do that, I think they're gonna be they're gonna have better results on the football field, and they're gonna be able to get those W's.
Yeah, during the 3-game stretch, Ricky Pearsall had ran 63 routes, had 3 targets and no catches. That's pretty remarkable. That's insane. He's just out there getting cardio.
What do you mean remarkable? What do you mean remarkable?
That's ridiculous.
I'm sure he doesn't feel
no,
that way.
I know it is. I'm just saying, how does that happen at wide receiver?
When you run 274
I understand. That's what I'm saying. It's remarkable in the ridiculous sense that the guy's just out there getting cardio. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? If that had been me back in the day, it would have been chairs thrown this way, that way, everything.
Furniture would have been moving. There's no doubt about that. It leads me back to Deebo. Like I can't get over Deebo. Shasky asked you earlier about Deebo Samuel. And the way it looks like, I don't know if he's going to be back next season. I have no idea what the front office, how they feel about Deebo. But all the other stuff, if you had a chance to sit Deebo aside and say, Deebo, get off social media. Deebo. What's up with the pregame? Like, everything with Deebo has just gone wrong ever since that moment. And, Jerry, you said this. I'm going to play this for you because you said this, and it actually happened.
Back in the day, I'm going to be honest with you. If we played like the way we played yesterday, we would have probably been swinging on each other on the sideline. We would have been fighting each other. That was like, that was not 49ers standard right there. I would say probably what we would do is just simplify everything, go back to route running, go back to where, Brock Purdy is feeling a little bit more comfortable back there in the backfield, where he can see the lanes where he wants to throw the football and stuff like that. And let these guys, earn their money, man. These guys are professionals.
So we actually saw Deebo getting to Jake Moody and Tabor Pepper saying, lock in. And we saw some things, he put some hands on them. But ever since that moment.
No. Let me clarify. I said all phases.
All phases.
And if you're a captain, if there's someone that's underperforming just a little bit, you deal with that in a very professional way. Now, if there's from all phases, if nobody is not doing their job, we would circle up. And, yeah, they're probably going to be some blows or something like that thrown on the football field to get everybody in that mindset of, hey, look, we're not playing up to our standard. We got to change that. And we're not giving the fans what they really pay for. So that was something that we all always took pride in, too. We felt like we owed the fans great football. So I think the Niners, they just got to go back to that. They got to realize that, hey, look, man, we play for the city of San Francisco. We play for the greatest fans ever. And we just got to go out there on that football field, and we got to leave everything on that football field.
All right, Jerry, what's the latest or greatest going on with GoField? Because I got to say, this watermelon fruit punch is cracking right now. I love this. This is my stuff, and the hat feels great. Hey, thank you for the hat. The hat feels great on my big head.
Man, we got the legends coming out. We did Muhammad Ali, and of course, for some reason they put me as one of those legends, guys. So, look for me on the can. I'm on the can, and I think we're talking to Babe Ruth and some other legends and stuff. So we're getting ready to have a fun time, man. But I have an exceptional team. My team works hard. They work hard. They believe in what we're building here, put in something out there a little bit healthier, feet on the ground, everything. And everybody is completely in. And I told them, I said, look, I told my daughter this when I started GoField. I said, look, I want that concept just like Eddie DeBarlow and Carmen Policy. And it's all about family. And we have built a family, and we got great, consumers out there that love GoField. We in probably 21,000 stores or more. I want to take that to the next level. I want to get 100,000 or more. And, just continue to let the people know that there is something a little bit healthier out there, and it's called GoField. the greatest of all time.
It is the greatest of all time, Shasky. And he's got a roster. You spread it throughout the NFL. Everybody's rocking Go Fuel. Our listeners are saying, where can I get that Go Fuel at? So let them know, Jerry. Let them know again where they can get this Go Fuel at.
GoFuel.com. GoFuel.com. Hey, and hey, look, shipping is free.
Like an 80-yard slam from Flash 8.
I love it. Hey, Jerry, if it's free, it's me. That's for sure.
You never know. I might special deliver it. You never know, because you know, guys, it's a party when I'm at the stadium. I'm in the stands, man. I'm all over the place. I'm having a great time.
Well, speaking of parties, Jerry, I don't know what you're doing Friday morning out in Sunnyvale, Laughing Monk Brewing, but we're having a big party.
Big party.
We call it the Doobie Awards, where we give it out the Morning Roaster of the Year, the Rookie of the Year, the Call of the Year, the Guest of the Year. And if, you know, if you want a party and eat some lobster linguine, have a couple cocktails on the house, you're more than welcome to come this Friday if your calendar is clear. Just saying.
Hey, what time is the party?
6 to 10 a.m., but we're going to be partying after 10 a.m. too.
Come on back.
I know you're an early riser. I know you're an early riser. You don't get no sleep, Jerry. Come on now. Sunnyvale, we right up the road, right by Levi's.
Hey, man. I'm going to tell you, I got a friend that, you know, I took to Las Vegas. And he said, man, you know what, man? Sleep is overrated. He said, we don't sleep, man. We don't sleep. Hey, I'm the same way. But seriously, hey, I have always only gotten about 4 hours throughout my career and stuff like that. I function out 4 hours. So what I'm saying, I'm down.
Let's go.
We're going to send that information to you.
Let's see
if you pop by. No worries if you can't, because we know you're busy. But if you pop by for a few minutes, we'd love to see
my
you, man.
And we'll have some, faint.
Yeah, we'll have some Go Fuel and everything for you, man. And I know our listeners love
Hell
you,
yeah.
man. Jerry, we always appreciate the time, man.
See you, Jerry.
Yeah. Happy holidays, guys.
You too.
Happy holidays to you as well, man.
Great to see your face,
Jerry Rice to go here on the River Islands Guest Line, man. That was a lot of